This is Market Insights, the Market Pulse podcast by Oanda.
I'm Johnny Hart. You're listening to the Market Insights Market Pulse podcast. Let's join Trader Nick in the United States. Good afternoon from London, Nick. How are you, sir?
Hey, Johnny. I'm good. How are you doing?
Yeah, very good. We had a big event today with the budget from the very first ever female Chancellor of the Exchequer. So it was quite a historic event. And of course, it's a brand new Labour government delivering their first budget in nearly 15 years. So plenty to say about that. But before we get to what's happening over here on this side of the pond, Nick, we had some fairly hot jobs numbers from your side earlier today.
We did. We had actually good bit of jobs data coming out this week. We had JOLTS yesterday, which was a bit light. However, today's private sector reporting, ADP numbers came in at 233,000 jobs compared to the forecast at 110. That's a really strong print, maybe to counterbalance a little bit of the weakness that we saw yesterday from the JOLTS number. That being said, they also revised the previous number a bit higher from 143,000 last month's numbers up to 159,000 this time around. So pretty strong overall ADP employment change number. At the same time, about 15 minutes later, we got the reported number for the advanced GDP quarter over quarter, which came in at 2.8% compared to forecasted 3%. So a little light on the GDP front, which may arguably be why the dollar is just a little bit down here this morning. So, or my morning, your evening. But anyways, when we talk about the GDP numbers, when we look at the ADP numbers, and we kind of take this as a collective, we're also looking down the pipeline at tomorrow's PCE numbers and Friday's jobs numbers for NFP. So a very, very busy week, but a bit of a mixed start, Johnny. We've got, again, ADP numbers good, GDP numbers a little soft, JOLTS numbers not so great. And you asked just as we were hopping onto the podcast, my thoughts a little bit on whether or not we're going to get a rate cut from the Fed. You know, we saw that 50 basis point cut to kick things off, and there's, you know, thoughts on all sides of the spectrum, if you will, for what's going to happen next with the Fed. And you know, it does seem like it is likely that the Fed will continue its overall direction of cutting rates. The question, the bigger and better debate perhaps, is just whether or not they will do so faster or slower than the market is currently expecting. One thing we've talked about a lot recently on the podcast is the rise in the 10-year Treasury yield, which of course is the bonds market way of kind of saying rate cuts might be a little less thick and heavy than people were expecting. Maybe we're going to get a real slow process of rate cuts, which the market may not love, and you know, may just shake things up here as we see a potential change in presidential leadership or staying the same. Either way, as we've talked about this over and over on the podcast, which is high expected spending could put a floor on inflation for the time being, perhaps leading to the Fed taking their time to cut rates in 2025.
And of course, we'll hear more about U.S. jobs on Friday with the non-farm payroll numbers, and it'll be interesting to see how this aligns with what we've heard today.
Yeah, that's right. And the NFP report is coming in. This is going to be the last one reported before the U.S. election. So a lot of eyes on this one, not only for that purpose, but also for the purpose of, as we just discussed, whether or not the Fed is likely to cut once or twice by the end of the year. And also maybe a bigger picture view would be how much are they going to cut in 2025? I mean, the thing here is, when we start taking a look at different markets and how this could impact it, when we look at the recent strength in the U.S. dollar, I mean, some of the currency pairs we could take a look at, for example, the euro dollar seems to have, at least for now, found a short-term bottom. The pound dollar had a bit of a bounce here today. However, you know, that's following a very sharp sell-off based on, I guess, perhaps some things that were said in the budget statement, which we'll talk to you just a moment about that. The pound dollar was down a good bit here this morning, has bounced a little bit with the dollar weakening just slightly. At the same time, the dollar yen is a little bit lower at the time of recording, but the dollar as a overall theme has been trending up recently for some of the reasons that we just discussed. The jobs number on Friday, however, could make or break the recent strength of this rally. If you get a really soft jobs print, it could be, you know, a little wobbly up here for the US dollar. But if you get a strong jobs print, it could continue the upward trend that we've seen recently. I do also want to make a mention to ADP numbers and how they did come in very strong, but don't let it fool you. Sometimes the ADP number is similar to the jobs print that we get on the following Friday. You know, we typically get the ADP numbers on the Wednesday of the first week, and then Friday, that first Friday of the new month, we get the NFP report. Well, there's not a perfect correlation here. So just because we had good ADP numbers does not ensure or confirm that the NFP report is going to be very strong as well. It could, it also could not. There's times where these things diverge from one another.
What do you think Kamala Harris will be hoping for on Friday?
I think that strong jobs are always a big selling point, especially with just really getting close to days now away from the polling day, right? You know, when you look at what people are seeing on the internet and on the television and on, you know, billboards and everywhere is if there's a strong stock market, people are hired and inflation is down, that's setting things up as best as possible. We also know that another very obvious play is keeping oil prices down, right? Which they have clearly been down recently. I actually was on the phone with someone the other day as I filled up my gas tank, and I noticed, wow, that's the lowest I've paid for gas in years. So to fill up my tank. So, you know, there's a lot of things at play here. And as I've said, every time I mention that, that is not a dig at one side of the political spectrum or another. I would do the same thing if I was running for president.
Yeah. And in the words, those famous words of President Bill Clinton, it's the economy, stupid. So I suppose anything will help the incumbent presidential team. I mean, it's the last big data, isn't it, before the election on Tuesday, what happens on Friday. On this side of the pond, as I said in the introduction, it was the first ever budget from a female Chancellor of the Exchequer today, with Rachel Reeves at the dispatch box in Parliament. And I suppose the big headline today was the tax rises, Nick. And the big headline was the increase in what we call national insurance contributions for employers. And she's increased that by 1.2 percentage points to 15% from April. And that's going to raise £25 billion. Overall, the tax rises amount to £40 billion. I won't go through all of them now, but there have been some increases in capital gains tax, inheritance tax, and so on. Fuel duty, though, surprisingly, has remained frozen for the next 2 years, and there's no change to the tax thresholds on income tax. It is certainly a fairly controversial budget because of those tax rises. Some are arguing, well, it's not going to encourage the economy to grow because owners, employers, people who run businesses, it's going to cost them more money because they're going to have to pay quite a lot each year for national insurance contributions on behalf of their employees. This isn't touching the employees directly, but if you are running a small business, and or any business for that matter, and suddenly you have a larger bill to pay for your employee in the form of national insurance, then that might disincline you to employ more people or indeed give a wage increase to the employees when they come for it once a year. So that has had quite a lot of talk over the last few hours as to whether or not this tax rise is going to damage the British economy. And in fact, the growth forecast for the next 5 years is pretty flat. That's not what you'd really want from a brand new Chancellor of the Exchequer. You want growth and more growth. And they actually talked about this during the election. We'll have to wait and see. It's early days, of course.
Yeah, and I think when we just take a look at economies in general, when, you know, there's all sorts of different political ideologies, but it comes down to some of the things that the market pays attention to most. Job security leads to, you know, potential GDP growth and things like that. So whether or not these policies work is obviously the subject of debate and not really something that, you know, I'm incredibly knowledgeable on and even really not the scope or focus of this podcast. That being said, the question, the indicators that we should look to as market analysts and people watching is, what do GDP numbers start to come out as in the coming, you know, years as this gets, put into place, as the new leadership kind of makes these changes? do they have a surprisingly upbeat response, or do they kind of not meet up to expectations? Obviously, there's different ideologies if you help businesses or if you prefer to lean more towards helping the consumer and the people. There are, you know, good ideas on both sides of that. The question really comes down to, how does it actually impact some of the stats and metrics that the market watches out for? Is this going to be inflationary? Is GDP growth going to surprise in any way to the up or to the downside? Those are the things that will cause the pound ultimately to be strong or weak, and of course, the UK stock market as well. And just to comment on the general state of the UK for the last decade, we had a brief conversation about this in a recent episode, just about how there's been several stuts and starts for the UK economy due to some real big global events. Of course, the Russia-Ukraine situation, energy prices spiking. I mentioned to you the you were recalling the Greek debt crisis situation. You know, there's these events that are external as well, and the UK has been in a real struggle for a long time to have sustainable growth. So we'll have to continue to see and, you know, hope for the best, because of course, you know, as we've all experienced globally, this period of high inflation, growth is very important for people to start receiving wage increases and for the cost of living crisis to not worsen that the UK has really struggled with.
And you're right. Of course, we've had, since the global financial crisis, more than 15 years ago, we've had one crisis after another. So there's never been a long period of respite from global shocks. And there's a generation out there, I'm a little bit older than you, Nicholas, but there's a generation out there who only know difficult economic times. You know, they say that, you know, people's living standards have not risen much. And this is probably one of the reasons why we're seeing politically things so fractious these days, because people are saying, well, what about me? I'm not seeing any growth. I can't afford to buy a home or a flat, or, I mean, depending on where you are in the world. The good times certainly seem to be taking a long time to come back.
Yeah, no, it is very true. And a cost of living crisis is a very painful thing for people who have not maybe seen the same kinds of wage growth. And I saw something, Johnny, I don't have it in front of me, but the cost of living and the wage growth in the United States compared to the UK, you know, we've got it pretty good over here in comparison, because the UK, what I've seen is there's been not a lot of sustainable, as you've mentioned, a nice long period of time of sustainable growth and prosperity has been lacking for the UK for some time. And you're talking about a country that has been, and again, not my area of expertise, and I'm sure you know far more about the UK and its history and things like that than I do. But to see, you know, a past country do so well and then kind of have this period of very consistent struggles with global situations, you know, one after the next is very challenging.
Nick, it's fantastic to talk to you today. We'll speak on Friday, of course. Have a good evening.
Thanks, Johnny. You too.
Market Insights, the Market Pulse podcast by Oanda.